Today's episode is brought to you by Omio. Omio is a travel booking platform that makes planning a vacation in Europe and North America effortless. Just enter your travel details and Omio will magically give you all the train, bus, flight, and ferry options for your journey. It's never been simpler to book your first real vacation for 2021. Best of all, using Omio saves you time and money, which is a win-win. Omio wants to help you leave your house this summer by offering 5% off your next booking. Just head on over to Omio.com and use promo code LISTENER5 at checkout. Valid until June 30th for all new users on all modes of transportation. It's just the pick-me-up your 2021 needs. Omio. Plan, book, and love the journey. Terms and conditions apply. Have you been in quarantine? Are you ready to enter the wild again? There's a chance no one has seen your coconuts in months. Don't ruin your first post-quarantine date with hairy coconuts. Would you show up to the first day of school without a haircut? Nope. Manscaped is here to provide you with the best tools for your grooming experience. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the best hygiene tool for the modern man. Because of the ceramic blade and advanced skin-safe technology, your snags will be reduced while preparing yourself for post-quarantine life. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0 Essential Kit. The Perfect Package 3.0 comes with new and improved Lawnmower 3.0, waterproof cordless body trimmer, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag for you to use when you're done quarantining. The Perfect Package 3.0 also comes with Manscaped Crop Preserver Deodorant and Crop Reviver Toner. The Crop Preserver is anti-chafing deodorant, which ensures your afternoon stroll through the jungle doesn't result in sticky coconuts. The Crop Reviver is a spray-on toner and made with soothing aloe and witch hazel extracts to give your coconuts a special boost. Subscribers to the Peak Hygiene Plan get a new replacement blade refill for your Lawnmower 3.0 delivered to your door every 3 months, making sure your trimmer stays fresh and clean. The light is at the end of the tunnel, fellas. Treat yourself for making it through the quarantine and welcome back to the jungle with a Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off plus free shipping with code SLOPDROP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com when you use SLOPDROP, S-L-O-P-D-R-O-P. Your first post-quarantine date will thank you.
That's a slop drop. I can answer that. That's a slop drop. What is that move? That's a slop drop.
Slop drop time.
Oh, that's a slop drop.
Slop drop, slop drop.
Slop drop. The slop drop indeed.
Welcome back to the slop drop. We need no introduction, but I'm Nathan Rogers, and I'm joined by the unluckiest man on planet Earth, Bad Luck Chapman, and our expert guest on this topic tonight, the manager of champions, Mr. Stephen E.
I actually mentioned something to Bad Luck before we came on live that I guess I'm kind of an expert in this genre of professional wrestling here. At least I should be at that point, right?
You are an expert. You are the manager of champions.
Yeah. I am the manager of champions. That is a fact, Jack.
I thought of like 60 managers to hit on real quick. And this is excluding Cowboy Bob Orton, who had a little stunt with Randy. Some new guys like Malcolm Bivens, Robert Stone, MVP, Jake Roberts. And, of course, you know, not that I'm leaving you off the list. I mean, it goes without saying, again, manager of champions, but.
Well, we want to give everybody else a little bit of shine, put them in the spotlight.
I got to tell you, man, when we talked about this the other day, maybe we'd come up with 25, come up with 60. And I went over this list, I don't know how many times, rearranging people, thinking of somebody new, taking people off. And I guarantee you, after this airs, I'm going to think I put that person too high, or I put that person too low, or I completely forgot about this person. So I know I'm going to change my mind.
How do you leave MVP off? I mean, he's been a manager at multiple promotions.
Yeah, but he's
also
performer.
Still a performer.
Yeah.
There's very few I put on the list that are still like going on today. There's a couple on here, but most of these are kind of in the past. But hey, one day MVP definitely belongs probably on the short list of greatest managers. His He's killing it.
Maybe. Yeah, he is killing it.
Let's get it kicked off here. Number 60, the devil himself, Kevin Sullivan. I know he was the leader and the wrestler of Dungeon of Doom, but he also managed Oz under a mask. Oz went on to be, of course, Kevin Nash. So I hate to leave him off, even though it was a short stint. But due to his contributions over the years, I don't want to. He's got to make the list, right? Number 60.
Yeah, you figure he was leader of the Dungeon of Doom, was a taskmaster.
Yep. He was still kind of like what we just talked about with MVP, though. He was more of a performer with them, but with Oz, he wore this weird mask. I don't know if you guys remember. Of course, Oz was short-lived anyway, but...
Yeah. That's, I think that's Kevin Nash's favorite gimmick.
Yeah. 59, Vince Russo, mainly for his TNA stuff. He managed AJ Styles. Did a little bit in WCW, but was more of a performer slash manager in his later part of his career in TNA.
Yeah, I could see that simply just because even in his late WCW, where he was the creative control powers to be, or the voice of the powers to be, or whatever it was, you know, he was kind of an exclusive manager to Double J for a while.
Yep. 58, Hiro Matsuda. About 1989 in WCW, he managed Barry Windham, Butch Reed, Kendall Windham, Michael P.S. Hayes, and even Ric Flair.
Wow.
So even though it was a short stint, that's a pretty good list.
Yeah. That is good. That's a good list of clients to have.
57, Precious. I don't know if you guys remember her. The wife, real life wife, and manager of Jimmy Jam Garvin.
Yeah.
56, Frenchie Martin, mainly known for Dino Bravo, but also had a little stunt with Abdullah the Butcher.
Yeah, I remember Frenchie from his Dino Bravo days in WWE. So I remember him.
55, Michael P.S. Hayes. He actually managed the Hardy Boys for a while in WWE.
That's right, he did. You know the great thing about that is it's like, hey, Michael, we're going to put you in this gimmick. We need you to get some gear. Okay, take me to Hot Topic and I'll get the gear.
Yeah.
You know, they were, I want to say, you know, that PSAs were wearing like JNCO jeans and.
Yeah.
Was he acting as PSAs, or did they have him going?
No, he was Michael PSAs, I believe.
I think he was Michael Hayes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
of course, when they first brought him in, he was Doc Hendricks, but then.
Right, yeah, he was past the Doc Hendricks stage.
54. My name is Armando Alejandro Estrada, manager of Umaga and even Muhammad Hassan at one time.
Oh man, yeah,
he's a good talker.
He was a good talker. I actually really liked him. I think he left under some controversy. I
think so.
You know, when he left. I actually liked his old shtick and spiel that he had. It was a shame that he was gone.
Had the cube, the hat, the cigar.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ooh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
53. Hillbilly Jim. Gotta have him.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Don't go mess with the country boy.
Yeah, don't go mess with the country boy. The Godwins, Cousin Junior, Luke, Uncle Elmer. He had a slew of people at one time. But 53 for old Hillbilly Jim. 52, Ivan Koloff. Uncle Ivan. Of course, we've had Nikita on here before. He talked highly of Ivan Koloff. He managed that hot heel faction back in the 80s.
Oh, Uncle Ivan.
Yeah. 51, The Genius. Lanny.
Yeah.
He managed Shane Douglas, if I'm not mistaken, right?
No.
He did manage Mr. Perfect.
Gimmick. Yep, he managed Mr. Perfect.
And the Beverly Brothers.
That's what he was most notable for, right?
And the Beverly Brothers.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Hart back in the Memphis days.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's the Beverly Brothers I'm thinking of. It's not.
He did manage the Beverly Brothers, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he did.
Number 50. Well, the quintessential stud muffin, Lou Gertner. Not just the Dudleys, but the entire Dudley family.
Clan. The straw that stirs the drink. You know that guy is that guy like. You know, if there ever was a more sleazy manager than Joel Gertner, I'd never seen him before.
Yeah,
Joel Gertner was like the epitome of sleaze, and he played that gimmick good. You know, almost to the point to where it's like if you ever really met that guy, he's probably not far off from that character. He was so
the
good
neck
at that.
Brace, the bow tie,
Yes,
over the
neck yes.
brace.
Mm-hmm.
49 Sable, of course, Mark Mero, Triple H, and then, of course, she manages the Beast at home, Brock Lesnar, but Sable,
yeah.
hot commodity
yeah.
there.
Well, I you know, I tell you what, you know, Sable, she first came on the scene as a manager for Hunter Hearst Helmsley, so...
Yeah.
And then Mark Mero,
yeah,
she was in ballet for Hunter, and of course after a little bit of verbal abuse, you know, Mark Mero, Johnny B. Badd, stepped up to the plate and said, "You can't do that, can't do that."
48. Chapman's going to disagree with us. He's going to think it should be higher. And anytime you guys think somebody's too high or too low, chime in. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
48, Arn Anderson.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Are you kidding me?
Very, very little managing.
Now, are you talking about Coach Anderson, you know, from AEW? Because he probably shouldn't even be on the list if we're talking about
That's what I'm talking about. He had a very short, maybe a week or two, right before he left for the WWE and WCW, where they reformed the Horsemen. He was kind of approving the – you know, Benoit and Malenko and all that. But as of, what, the past two – he's only been a manager for 2 years?
Well, I still count the fact that he was a manager to the Four Horsemen once he got injured, couldn't wrestle anymore.
Hey.
Because, he like, you hang on a second. Because, like you said, he approved Benoit. He approved Malenko. And he tried to give his spot to Kurt Hennig. You know, he kind of took over that J.J. Dillon spot.
Yeah, but anytime you have, you don't even get your own entrance anymore. You can't even walk out with the guy. It's like you have to be, come on.
Okay, you can come out now.
You go ahead and come out. I've made my entrance down the middle of the, I can't stand it. You know, it always bugs me to see that entrance. And, you know, I hate to see Arn coming out like that, but
just disrespectful.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
It's disrespectful to the legend.
Yeah.
47, another horseman, Arn's best friend, Ric Flair. And the reason he's so far down on the list is because he's mainly been a performer. His managing, which he shortly managed Evolution, David Flair, I think, for a match or two. Fortune in TNA. It's just been small stunts here and there. He's never been like a full throttle, full time manager.
See, I think Arn should have been above Flair.
Yeah, probably so. Probably so. Yeah. Probably should swap those.
Yeah, you could go either way on those.
Yeah, but I mean, Ric Flair, I got to have him on there as the Nature Boy. 16-time world champion. 46, Ravishing Rick Rude. Managed Kurt Hennig, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels. But other than that, I don't know.
Well, he was – what was he for DX?
He was their bodyguard, man.
Yeah. That's why I said Triple H.
And bodyguard slash manager.
And then what about NWO?
Well,
kind of the same.
Kurt, yeah. Mainly for
same,
Kurt
same
Hennig.
Same role.
Yeah. 45, Mr. Perfect. Managed Ric Flair for a while.
Yeah,
WWF.
I had to put him lower.
You'd put him lower.
Yeah, I know he managed Flair, but that was like it.
Yeah,
it was kind of a one-off.
But you know, he did it at a pretty cool time. You know, I remember Hennig had that jacket that had, you know, it spelled out his name, and I always thought it was cool because I think it was WrestleMania 9. It was one of the outdoor events that that he was on, and he was wearing like a suit and a pair of Jordans.
Yeah. 44, Brother Love, only managed one person.
Ooh,
but that was
I think,
Undertaker.
I know, man, but gosh, I you know, see, I where I think he should be higher is because I'm just a fan of that character. But I think that he's more of a character, and I'm just a fan of that character than he is a manager.
Right. It's more like he was more like a Roddy Piper character with Piper's Pit. You know, he had a show.
Yeah, boy, but
he did manage.
Brother Love, man. He did
introduce The Undertaker.
He did.
His shows were just so brilliant. I was even to this day, man, I'm a huge Brother Love fan. I love going back and watching a lot of his stuff on YouTube and stuff like that, because it's just so entertaining. And to me, it's timeless. Like, it's still just as good now as it was back in 1988, you know.
Coming in at 43, this is somebody Bad Luck Chapman needs to call up and acquire their services. Clarence Mason in the WWF was also later on Jay Biggs in WCW. He managed Crush, Farouk, the original Nation of Domination. WCW, he managed Harlem Heat 2000, which is Stevie Ray and Ahmed Johnson, and I forgot who else. And anyway, played an attorney, a lawyer-type gimmick. Chapman, you need to call him up. WWE,
I need him to look into my case.
Gimmick infringement.
Gimmick infringement, yeah.
Baron Corbin, I'm coming for you.
There's only one wrestling personality
that has this type of bad luck.
He has bad luck trademark. You can't, you know, don't you own the trademark on bad luck in professional wrestling?
Yes.
42. I was never a huge fan of this guy, but when I looked at the list of people he's managed, I'm like, eef, he's been there, done that. Father James Mitchell, Abdullah the Butcher, Balls Mahoney, mm-hmm. Brian Lee, Christopher Daniels, CM Punk.
You know, Father James Mitchell will go down in history to me as the guy who was performing the ceremony when somebody got shot on television.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he had a pretty Black interesting Rain. Run.
Yeah, Black Rain, which was Dustin Rhodes, Vampiro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a good run.
But a lot of these are probably some one-offs, you know. But yeah, still, that's quite a list. Yeah. 41, Luna Vachon. Mm-hmm. Bam Bam
Bam Bam Bigelow.
Gangrel, Goldust, The Oddities, Shawn Michaels, yeah. Tommy Dreamer.
That's right, she was with Shawn Michaels.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. To me, she'll always be Bam Bam's, sidekick. So.
Yeah. Here we go. We're going to crack the top 40. This is where things get shady and some gray areas. Number 40, I've got Johnny Polo / Raven.
Yeah. That's kind of one of those hidden mysteries, you know, of wrestling. What the hell were they thinking bringing him in? You know, and putting him with
Adam Baum.
You know, do you remember his outfit? He come out in a polo shirt, curly hair with a pair of shorts, and he, if I'm not mistaken, he came out with like a boat oar or something, and
he had like a polo stick or whatever.
Was it a polo stick?
It was a little hammer thing. Right?
And to see what he, you know, eventually became, it's kind of like. You know, who imagine being the person who had to pitch in, who had to pitch that to Scott Levy, you know, to do.
Well, I think, you know, that was what made his Raven character, all that built up over time when he was so miserable and pissed off playing Johnny Polo. But I mean, he managed Adam Baum, Jacques and Pierre. He had Raven's Nest, which turned out to be Raven's Flock in WCW. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, the Flock.
39, Bill Dundee, a.k.a. Sir William, Masahiro Chono, Buddy Landett, Steven Regal, and more.
Bobby Eaton.
Bobby Eaton. Yeah, his son.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Bill is he's a top-notch guy.
I never knew that was Sir William.
Yeah.
Did you not?
No.
You just got
You
just learned something.
Yeah, he just learned, man. He got
looking back, going, "Holy shit, it was him!"
Yeah. You know,
he managed the Blue Bloods.
Man, I tell you what, you know, I've had multiple opportunities to sit at a table with him and just, you know, just absorb some of what he says. And man, that guy is about as nice as they get. You know, his wife Linda was the same way, just very, very welcoming. You know, at the time they couldn't have said anything to me, and me just sitting at the table would have been, you know, good enough. But you know, they made me feel very welcome and good people.
38. It's me.
It's DDP. Yeah.
I managed Michael Hayes and Jimmy Garvin for a while, of course.
Diamond Stud,
which was Scott Hall, and even
Vinny Vegas,
which was Kevin Nash. So,
mm-hmm. And he drove the Honky Tonk Man to the ring.
He did.
WrestleMania 3, I think.
Yeah, and that pink Cadillac.
That's right. Yeah. He drove all the way from like Florida or
Georgia all the way
to What was it, in Vegas or something? No, was it WrestleMania 3? Was it Michigan? Pontiac, yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
37. This is going to probably make some people frown. Stacy Keibler. But when you look at the people she managed,
yeah.
She had the whole the little faction standards and
practices. You know, people can be upset about that, but the fact is that, you know, that she was very, very popular in professional wrestling, and she's one of the few superstars that really transcended past professional wrestling. You know, she became, you know, kind of like a Hollywood socialite for many, many, many years, and, you know, I think she's settled down now, and I want to say she was married, or she recently got married, or within the last year or two, but she dated George Clooney for a number of years,
and David Flair, who she managed him too for a while. Mm-hmm. El Dandy, yeah. Silver King, Taz, the Dudley Boys, Test, Scott Steiner,
mm-hmm.
Hurricane,
yeah, so, oh yeah,
yeah, she had quite the list of people. 36, yep. Sonny.
Woo.
Brian Lee, Chris Candido.
Now, are you gonna put a are you gonna put a crawl with Sonny's not OnlyFans? What is she? Her Skype? She's a Skyper, isn't she?
Chatman knows what it is.
Yeah,
she's Chatman. Got the OnlyFans.
Oh, account. Does she got an OnlyFans account? Oh yeah.
But you got to think she managed LOD 2000.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The Body Donnas, I mean, the God.
Yeah.
Smoking Guns.
Goodwin, Godwin,
yeah, Chris, you know, Chris Candido, you know,
no,
what are you talking about? Like, she did
Smoking Guns, 35, Bill Alfonso, ECW, Taz, yeah. Sabu, RV, yeah,
calls it straight call down, it right
down the middle, baby.
Call it right down the middle, man. A lot of people don't realize, like he's been a part of a lot of. Big matches, like I, what were, we did one, the Lex Luger,
Lex Bruiser Luger, Brody. Bruiser Brody.
Yeah, you know, he was the ref. Referee. You know, he may have been the reason why Lex Luger walked out of that cage. You know, just going with the flow of things. But no, man, he's awesome, dude. He was great in ECW. Bill Alfonso was, you know, in fact, maybe might be should be a little bit lower down.
Could be, just yeah.
To hear who's next, because you know, Bill Alfonso,
34. It's old. It's an old school one, old school. And the reason that he's made it this high, not only it's Golden Boy Arnold Skoland, and a lot of people don't know who that is. He managed Bob Backlund, hey, Bruno Sammartino.
Threw in the towel for Bob Backlund's match against the Sheik.
Uh-huh. But he was one of the first guys that actual, you know, he wore a suit. He was more like an agent, coach / actual manager that you would see from like Bobby Heenan, that
right.
They modeled themselves after him. So kind of a pioneer. So I had to get him on here.
There you go.
33, Missy Hyatt Chapman. She managed the Nasty Boys.
She damn sure did.
Eddie Gilbert, Rick Steiner, Ric Flair, Sting, Scott Steiner, Shane Douglas, the Sandman, several.
So what you're saying is she's been around.
Oh, she's been around. She's been around, right?
Oh, boy.
32, Sonny Ono.
Oh, that's a piece son of shit.
Jushin Thunder Liger.
Well, he brought the whole
Japan.
Ultimo Dragon, La Parca, yeah. Even some of the luchadors. So
yeah, man. He sure did.
He brought a lot of guys from Japan.
You know, did we tell you that he is a mask enthusiast? Like, this guy just loves, like, wrestling masks.
Yeah.
So much that, you know, he doesn't even have integrity.
I wonder if you can buy a machine, Andre the Giant machine from him.
Yeah, you can. You just got to get on eBay.
You got to get on eBay and bid it out.
We should bid on that.
Yeah.
I wonder if it sold. If that thing ever sold, or he still got it?
No, yeah. They got outbid.
He got outbid on it, yeah. But that doesn't mean.
Oh, he didn't get it? I thought he had it.
Well, Sonny Ono had it. And then was trying to sell it to, or the WWE was trying to buy it for the museum or whatever they're putting together. And Sonny Ono was like, yeah, you can buy it if you just outbid, you know, here on eBay.
Yep.
And they got outbid.
Yeah, it's like,
oh, man.
They had a certain number, 5, and they quit at 5,000. Yeah, they said they weren't going to spend more than 5,000 on it. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
31, Baby Doll.
Baby Doll,
Tully Blanchard, Ric Flair, even the Rock and Roll Express and Carolina, Gino Hernandez, Sam Houston,
Dusty
Rhodes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Excuse me, number 30, Vicky Guerrero. There she is.
I don't care what anybody says. I would have probably put her higher up because I'm going to tell you right now, modern day, there is not anybody out there that had more legit heat.
Boy, there were some promos that they did. You know, there was one I'm thinking it was is Dolph Ziggler, John Cena, where they just
John Cena was out there laughing about it.
Yeah, she was out there for every bit of 4 minutes trying to belt this promo out. It was horrible because it was obviously a scripted promo because she just kept starting over and she'd get about two sentences in and then the crowd would just overtake it.
Four words
in. Yeah,
it just
crowd would just boom, overtake
oh
it.
Oh my gosh,
she's one of the few that's managing currently. That of course Arn Anderson, he made the list. Vicky made the list. She's got Andrade now. Nyla Rose, she's managed her husband Eddie Guerrero, Chavo, Edge. Several. Dolph Ziggler. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's another one still managing. Don Callis.
Yeah.
I like Don Callis.
I like Don Callis. Even though his glasses just bug me. You know, yeah, they're nice Ray-Bans, but they've got that like gold lens, and they just bug me. They just you have to be an arrogant son of a bitch to wear gold lens glasses.
He's managed the Acolytes, the Truth Commission, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega.
AEW started a "You Got Fired" chant to him last week, I think it was, because he got fired from Impact.
Yeah.
And without missing a beat, dude, that dude grabs a bike and he's just like, "Real men get fired. We don't quit."
Yeah.
I thought that was just great.
I've actually met Don Callis. I think I've told you guys a story on him and Kurgan on the streets of St. Louis before Survivor Series one time. It's a quick interaction.
Yeah.
28, Paul Jones. I don't know if you guys remember him, but he's managed Rick Rude, Jake Roberts, Tully Blanchard, Abdullah the Butcher, Superstar Billy Graham, Kamala, Manny Fernandez. Stephen, I believe you've managed Kamala yourself.
Yeah. I brought him over from Uganda to take care of that light work Butch Reed at the time. God bless Butch Reed and Kamala both. They've since passed.
Both of them.
But that was good. That was good times, man. Good times with those guys.
27, Dutch Mantel. Think about all the people, even from his Memphis days. But
JBL
when he was Justin Bradshaw, the Blue Brothers, even Mark Callis before he was the Undertaker.
Steve, we the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't forget Jake Hager.
Jack Swagger. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
26. Harley Race. Lex Luger. Vader. Mr. Hughes.
Yeah.
I hated Mr. Hughes.
Oh, did you?
I did. But man, I tell you what, anytime I'm a huge Vader fan. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to think of Vader coming out without Harley because he was there with him just forever.
Imagine getting into a big bar brawl with those two guys at the bar.
Passed away now both.
They are, but during the heyday back in the 90s, man, imagine walking into a bar and seeing it coming, seeing the ass whipping getting ready to happen, and start messing with old Harley, who was a tough son of a gun, and then with Leon, man. He was just
Got that 450-pound,
Mastodon.
Just a beast. I tell you though, you talk about Harley and with Vader, I can't tell you how many times I've watched, went back and rewatched videos and it's like, man, Harley used to get involved like a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He would start the match off fighting the guy. I remember I think it was Duggan, him and Duggan fought on one pay-per-view for like 4 minutes before him and Vader even fought. Sometimes I felt like it was overkill, but they were, it was just that they made a good team together.
Yeah.
25. Here's a controversial one. Deborah McMichaels. She's managed Stone Cold Steve Austin, D'Lo Brown, Ric Flair, Eddie Guerrero, Owen Hart, Jeff Jarrett. Of course, all the Horsemen at one time, even The Rock. Quite a list of people.
Did you say Mongo?
No, he didn't.
I said the Mongo. Horseman.
Well, but
okay. The 25th favorite horseman.
Yeah.
No, man. After I saw that story a couple of weeks back, he's my fifth favorite horseman right now.
Yeah.
God bless him. You know, prayers to that guy because, you know, he's not doing well. And I believe it was ALS. And yeah.
But, Deborah, what do you guys think? Do you think that's a...
I think that's fair.
You
did 25, you said?
Yeah.
I think that's a fair assessment, I think.
She was a big part. I mean, she was a big part with Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, for a long time. You know, so. and you know,
Steve
like...
Steve Austin, too.
Well, that and the, yeah, when you think about it, like, you know,
hashtag domestic violence.
Well, yeah. when you know, when she was in the WWE, you know, I mean, like, the Attitude Era was booming and you know, from puppies. The 90s, yeah, that's what I was going to say.
That's
you know,
where from puppies the 90s, came
from. When you think of, like, catchphrases and stuff, you know, you think of puppies, and that's exactly where it came
her
from.
Puppies are what started that.
Yep.
Yeah, was from Deborah.
So. 24, Slick. He's
yeah.
amazing.
Oh,
man. Gang, the big
Jive Soul
man.
Bro, yeah.
Come on.
Jive Soul Reed. Bro.
Hercules, Jive Rick so Martel.
Bro. Yeah, man.
I went off, but yes, look, he was a
big boss man. Did you say boss man?
Got the boss man, yeah.
Yeah.
23, Terry Reynolds, aka Marlena. Yeah. She's got quite the list of Wall Street.
She's been around the block too.
Yeah.
New Jack.
New Jack. York Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Which was Ricky Morton, Terry Taylor,
Rich. Well, and we just talked about that last week. You know, she came out with the laptop, if that's what you know,
the brick,
you know, and like she was ahead of her time, and I've actually heard a bunch of different promoters and stuff that where she had worked, you know, because she got started managing, I think at like 17 or 8, like she started young.
Yeah.
And they've all said like she was way ahead of her time.
Oh,
and,
yeah. She knew her stuff.
And like I said, I don't know if we recorded it or not, but I'll tell you, I don't think Goldust would have been near as successful without her. She kind of brought that character out. And she was good.
Yeah.
Not the matter. She was smoking hot.
Good shit, pal. Good stuff.
Good stuff. 22, Harvey Whippleman.
Oh, Downtown Bruno.
Downtown
man.
Bruno.
I tell you what, you know, I just read another story about him yesterday or the day before, talking about just how genuine and how great of a guy that guy is. And there, you know, there was a video that popped up a couple of months ago on you know, Facebook, YouTube, all the social media outlets where he had actually got a Ford F-150 given to him by The Rock. And I guess back when The Rock was an up and comer and, you know, didn't have a pot to piss in, you know, Doe Harvey or downtown Bruno really went out of his way to make him feel welcome and help him along the way. And that was his way of showing him that he appreciated what was giving him a brand new pickup.
Maybe the only male ever to win the WWE Divas Championship.
Maybe.
No, Santino didn't.
Did
no, I know he competed in the Battle Royal.
Yeah.
But I don't think he won the championship. I know Harvey won it.
Did Harvey won the
against I want to say it was Miss Kitty in a snowball match.
Wow.
Yeah.
But
he was dressed up like a woman and they go up to interview him and, you know, whatever he was calling himself. They're like, you know, what do you think? And, of course, Harvey's like, I'm the winner. Oh, I mean, you know, and then he took the mask and the makeup. And like, because he had that real grunny, you know, voice. And it was funny. I just watched it.
Good stuff, man, especially if you got to catch any of his Memphis stuff, man.
Yeah.
He was a genius down in Memphis.
Yeah, he managed Sid down there and
mm-hmm. –
several in the WWE, and you know you're talking
Bomber.
About, stuff that he's did. Giant Gonzalez, he managed him, and I guess his family was just milking him dry, and he didn't have any money to send them. And there for a while, Harvey sent his family money.
That's the story that I was reading just like 2 days ago, and it broke. And stand up guy, man. You know the world still has nice guys, especially in this business, you know.
Here I am.
Yeah. He said nice guys, not bad luck. 21, Colonel Rob Parker.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Bunkhouse Buck.
Bunkhouse Buck, Arn Anderson, Steve Austin, Terry Funk, Cactus Jack, Jeff Jarrett, you
Harlem
know.
Heat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be a little higher. We'll see. Number 20, Classy Freddie Blassie.
Yeah. Man. Now that might catch you some heat because some people might say he may have been a top five, top 10, you know, pick there.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, I changed this list several times.
Oh, man.
I'll probably change
my
mind again.
I'll admit to you that, you know, growing up as a kid, we were very, very, very influenced by the WWF. And, you know, he was one of the top dogs in WWF. So, yeah. That surprises me that he's that low.
He's managed Big John Studd, George the Animal Steel, Hulk Hogan, Jesse Ventura, King Kong Bundy. Lots of legends.
Yeah.
Number 19.
I was a fan of when he hit his dote age and he was up in his years, you know, they used him a lot for some of the promos and, you know, the lead-ins to some of the pay-per-views and stuff. And man, like some of those promos where he would be the one talking, you know, just thinking about it gives me chill bumps.
Yeah,
you know?
I can remember one. It was like black and white and you could hear his voice talking.
Where he's kind of sitting in the stands talking. Yeah, that's it. Man.
19, woman, oh woman, won't you marry me now? Woman, Nancy Benoit.
Oof.
Managed Arn Anderson, Butch Reed, Chris Benoit, Kevin Sullivan, Ric Flair, Doom. 18, Eric Bischoff. Probably a little too high that I'm thinking about it, but I mean.
But he was influential.
Very influential.
He did manage Hogan, the New Blood. Even you can say the NWO, three minute warning in WWE. I think I would swap him and Freddie Blassie.
I probably would have put Freddie higher.
Yeah. $17 million man, Ted DiBiase.
Everybody's
got a price. He's for the million dollar man.
Bam Bam Bigelow, the fake Undertaker, IRS, Comma, which was the Godfather. King Kong Bundy, the Steiners, Sid.
Yeah.
Steve Austin, Stone Cold.
Million-dollar corporation.
Tatanka.
He did.
NWO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was the fourth man in the NWO.
Steiners. Yeah. He was a Steiners.
Yeah.
Steiners. Yeah, he was. He sure was.
He brought in Stone Cold Steve Austin as
the ringmaster. Champion.
The ringmaster, yeah. So maybe he needs to be a little higher, too. But
I don't think you guys know a bigger $1 million man fan than myself, but I think he's right where he should be. I know we got big things getting ready to pop off with the top 15, right?
We're at number 16 now.
Oh, he's number 16. Get ahead of myself.
Captain Lou Albano, number 16. Greg the Hammer Valentine, Don Morocco, the Iron Sheik, Snuka, Andre, Hogan, Head Shrinkers, the British Bulldogs.
What a colorful piece of, you know, with WrestleMania 1, you know, Piper took the gold record or whatever and shattered it over him. And
Well, you know, of course, he, you know, had a part in Cyndi Lauper's, you know, video that was real popular and some say kickstarted the rock and wrestling connection. Yeah. And
he had a safety pin in his face.
Yeah, a lot of people rubber bands. Yeah, rubber bands. He put rubber bands and all
rubber
that
bands.
Good stuff.
He was a part of the cartoon. I think he had to.
Yeah, he was. Mm-hmm. He was part of the cartoon. Yeah.
15. This one may be. I don't know. See what you guys think. Sensational Sherry.
I'm a fan.
Randy Savage. Ted DiBiase.
Follow me.
Sean. Yeah, I definitely. I think 15 is a fair spot for Sherry. You know, I still to this day, one of my favorite things for my wife to do is, you know, there was a meme that circulated a little while back where him and Sherry were on a cart being carried, and he had done something, and the meme was like, you know, when my husband, you know, does the dishes and you got Randy, you know, doing this, and she's going like that. So my wife does that from time to time, and you know,
that's your favorite Sherry. Thing she does.
It's not my favorite, but I just it's something that you see, you know, more often than some of her stuff that she did in the ring, but she's awesome.
She brought Harlem Heat. She made Harlem Heat.
Well, not only that, Shawn Michaels,
yeah.
Ric Flair, Randy Savage. I mean, those are three World Hall of Fame champions right there.
Well, I heard, you know, Shawn Michaels, the model. You know, they had that whole feud over her for a while, and that was good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She definitely deserves
a lot of people don't realize that she actually sung Shawn Michaels' entrance music. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, when they were together, and then when, you know, when they did their little split, you know, he went ahead and redid the lyrics, you know, with his voice. But
she's still on it. Oh, she still starts out the Matter of fact, Kurt Angle brought her in. He ought to do his "I'm Just a Sexy Kurt." Mm-hmm. And she actually messed up. And she goes, "Oh, Sean," at the start. And you could see her shake her like shit, sorry. You know, and Kurt just fucking went with it. And I mean, yeah, she, you know, man, I tell you what, she, you know, look how she was just a great manager. She was so influential with Savage and just everything, you know. She, you know, she's another one that's gone. So,
yeah.
14, Teddy Long. Maybe a
like,
little time.
Oh, yeah. I like that. No, man, I like that. I like that because, you know, I don't know if you could have Doom without Teddy Long, and Doom were some bad mamma jams, boy.
Yeah. Doom, Mark Henry, D'Lo, One Man Gang, Johnny B. Bad. Mm-hmm. He's,
you know, the thing about Teddy is, you know, when I first saw Teddy, he was a referee, mm-hmm. you know, and then you look at him and he was the SmackDown general manager. You know, you mm-hmm. want to talk about a guy that worked his way up from the bottom. Yeah,
he's done about everything there is to do. And I think he earned his place on this list somewhere.
Yeah. Yep.
13, Miss Elizabeth.
Oh,
Randy Savage.
I really thought she might be top 10.
I'm telling you, the higher that,
man. Yeah. Gets, yeah. Yeah, I tell you what, man, she was, you know, she was something else. Obviously, I'm wearing my Macho Man shirt, so I was a fan. You know, could you imagine our childhood without Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth? You know, that's not a childhood that I want any part of, you know. I don't know, man. She was the face of the beauty, you know, the beauty behind pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Miss Elizabeth was. And, you know, it's unfortunate. You know, we talk about, you know, being gone, people being gone. She's gone. She's been gone.
Well, that's the problem is, you know, you talk about the beauty, you know, coming out. She was dying to be the beast, and she got with Luger.
Yeah.
Managed him, too. Mm-hmm. 12, Paul Ellering. The Road Warriors.
Oh, Jake the Snake, what a rush! Did he? Who else did he manage other than the
most recently AOP?
And I remember AOP. Yeah, I felt like his style for AOP was aged. I don't know. You know,
he said King Kong Bundy too, right?
Bundy, Jake Roberts, Abdullah the mm-hmm. Butcher. I think Arn Anderson at one time too.
But you know, he had so much success with the Road Warriors. You know, it's like, you know, I get it. You know, how do you not place that guy high just because of his influence with the Road Warriors?
Yeah, they probably could swap him with some other people we've mentioned earlier.
I like him where he's
at. Freddie Blassie, number 11, Mr. Fuji, Demolition, Powers of Pain, Yokozuna. Come on.
You know, Mr. Fuji, he and I can't remember who it was with, but he actually was the only person. Well, it was Mr. Fuji and Demolition, and I think it was the Powers of Pain working against Demolition, and Mr. Fuji turned, or did Demolition turn on Fuji, and then the Powers of Pain, you know, turn on Demolition or something. It was like a double swerve.
Yeah, he managed both of them, so.
Yeah.
We're breaking
Fuji.
The top 10, and I've got some controversial ones in here. We'll start with this one. A lot of people don't know who it is, but when I run down the list of people he's managed, the Grand Wizard of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
He was actually Jewish, and he came up with the name the Grand Wizard just to jab the Klan. that he's managed the original Sheik, the Iron Sheik, Killer Kowalski, Sergeant Slaughter, Ox Baker, Bob Orton, Don Morocco, Ken Patera, Pat Patterson, Superstar Billy Graham. I mean, loads and loads of people.
You know, I'll always remember, you know, him coming out because he always had like a kind of a scepter wand, you know, type thing.
Yeah, he had the thing.
And then he had the, like, it was like a turban or
like purple.
Like a shiny purple turban or something. And man, oh man, you know, I, again, a lot of the audience might not necessarily know who he is, but if you get a minute, go look up some of his stuff, man. He was huge back in the '80s and back when managers meant something.
Yeah. Number nine, Paul Bearer, Percy Pringle, Undertaker, Kane, Mankind, Vader, Missing Link back in WCCW, and then
just a slew of others down in Memphis and down south. Wow, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing about some of these older names I'm throwing out. They've managed a ton of people. Some of them short time because you know how it is, Steven. People come through the territory and they may need a manager. Well, let's this guy.
Yeah. You know, earlier off camera, you know, or before we started recording, you'd ask, you know, do I remember everybody that I've managed? And, you know, the sad answer is no, I don't remember. I've managed so many people over the years that, you know, if I hear a name, it might click. It's like, yeah, we work together, but I've managed so many people over the years that it just kind of, you know, just kind of just a flash, I guess. I'm not sure.
Number eight. We actually talked about this guy not long ago. I think it was off camera, though. Oliver Humperdinck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sir Oliver Humperdinck. You know,
Bam Bam Bigelow.
I was in attendance live in Fresno, California, Celand Arena when he acquired Bam Bam Bigelow's contract in the chase for the contract. I can't remember exactly what they called it, but, you know, WWF had, you know, had all of their managers buying for, you know, for Bam Bam Bigelow's contract. And as it turned out, I think Slick ended up winning it. And you know, Bam Bam told him eat kick rocks and introduced their Oliver Humperdinck. And, you know, and his debut match was against Nikolai Volkoff, I believe, who was managed by Slick at the time.
Just a few names he's managed. You mentioned Bam Bam Bigelow, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, The One Man Gang, Bruiser Brody, Superstar Billy Graham, Dick Slater, Matt Bourne, Lord Humongous, which I think was Sid down in Memphis, Hercules, and The Great Muta. Lots of talent.
Lots of people, yeah.
Number seven. Stephen E. will appreciate this. Skandar Akbar.
Oh, man, I'm not even going to lie. I have been sitting here going, he better not leave Skandar out. If he leaves Skandar out, I'm going to pull the plug on this. And this is never going to see the light of day, and we're going to do another one, and we're going to put him in the top five.
He could definitely easily be in the top five.
Oh, man.
He's not lying. While we're setting up, he goes, so who's the one guy you think that you know, Nathan's going to leave off? And I'm like, oh man, I don't know. He came up a lot.
I said he hope he doesn't leave Skandar Akbar.
Can't leave Skandar Akbar.
No, you can't leave Skandar. For you young viewers who
have no idea who this guy is.
I actually had the privilege of having Skandar manage me in a match, and I tell you what, man, it was very. You know, it was very cool for him to give me the rub. You know, we go through, it was me versus Space Cowboy Jason Jones in West Plains, Missouri at the Civic Center. I had Skandar Akbar in the corner. Danny Hodge was in Space Cowboy Jason Jones' corner. We ended up taking the W that night. But, you know, we get to the back and Skandar just, you know, we're talking, I'm just, you know, thanking him, you know, and all that good stuff. And he looks at me and he tells me, he goes, now, Steven, anywhere you go, you tell them you're part of Devastation Inc. now, you know. And I just, man, that meant so much to me to put myself in, you know, in that category of workers. I mean, because you're talking about, you know, Jake Roberts, you know, one. I mean, we could have a Devastation Inc. show.
He's managed you, Steven E. He's managed Abdul the Butcher, Mark Callis, which was The Undertaker, Al Perez, Big Bubba Rogers, Brutus Beefcake, Butch Reed, Cactus Jack, Dan Spivey, Dick Murdoch, Dr. Death Steve Williams, Kamala, The Missing Link, The Great Kabuki, Hercules, let's see here, some of the Von Erichs, did I say King Kong Bundy? King Kong?
Yeah, Bundy's in there too, And that, I mean, the list goes on.
One man gang.
Yeah. We could literally do a complete episode on you know, just people that have been a part of Devastation Inc. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Steve Austin's part of Devastation Inc.
Yeah.
Jeez, you know. So thank you very much for putting him in such a, you know, that I can live with that.
He probably should be higher, honestly. He really should.
Maybe so, but you know, there's probably going to be somebody out there that you know, that goes Skandar Akbar. Who, you know, because I've only been a wrestling fan for 25 years, and you know, I may not know who he is, but you know, if you don't know who Skandar Akbar is, go look his stuff up, man. He is a wizard.
And the same with this next guy, number six. You could probably interchange Skandar and this guy. They're kind of neck and neck. Gary Hart.
Gary Hart, boy. You know, I mean, you go back and you watch that old Texas stuff, and man, oh man, like you talk about heat.
Like, they match the same people, of course. You know, some of the territories kind of intertwine. Dick Slater, Larry Zbysko, Terry Funk, Great Muta, Great Kabuki, Gino Hernandez, Chris Adams, King Kong Bundy, One Man Gang, Bruiser Brody, Abdullah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
Lots.
Oh yeah. Yep. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. That's another one too. A lot of people might disagree with you on that one, but man, if they do, they need to go back and refresh on their Texas wrestling.
Okay, here's my top five. Reckon number five, Jimmy Hart, Hogan, Brutus, Honky Tonk Man, Lawler, Earthquake, Typhoon, The Hart Foundation, Greg the Hammer Valentine. I mean, Nasty Boys.
Now, from what I understand, Jimmy Hart is the second hardest working man in professional wrestling. I know a guy who's the hardest working man in professional wrestling. I'm not going to take that away from him, but I tell you what, man, I've always heard nothing but good things about Jimmy. I've never had the privilege of meeting him, but you know, anytime that he's ever been booked with people that I know, they always talk about how much of a marketing genius, how much of a just, you know, he's always willing to go that extra step. He'll call into radio stations. Hey, baby, do you need me to call into any radio stations? You know, it's like, well, I didn't think about that. Well, let me go ahead and call. Let me get, you know, get your local stations, and I'll go ahead and call them up, and just he'll go above and beyond to you know, to do what he needs to do to put people in the seat.
I think the second hardest working man in pro wrestling, Jimmy Hart, and the hardest working man in professional wrestling, Jason Jones, actually did a radio spot together a few months ago.
They sure did. They sure did. In fact, I think that last time I heard the second hardest working man in professional wrestling, Jimmy Hart, still owes the hardest working man in professional wrestling, Space Cowboy Jason Jones, a couple of bucks from a promo that Jimmy got from him.
Well. Number four, J.J. Dillon.
Oh, man. That's very fitting. I like how you did that.
I did that.
I really like how you did that.
I mean, the horseman, enough said, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I have had the privilege of meeting him and working with him. And, man, he's a professional in every sense of the word. That guy is a great guy. And a lot of people don't realize how high up the ladder he was in the 80s with Mr. McMahon.
Yeah.
He was what some people might call his left hand. You know, his right hand man was always Pat Patterson. Well, his left hand man was James J. Dillon, you know. And it's crazy. Yeah, he's I got no problem with that right there. I'm so anxious for the top three though. I can't
the top three. I know this next one is usually either the one or two for other people. He's my number three, Jim Cornette.
Wow.
Midnight Express, Rogers, Owen Hart, Vader, Yokozuna.
I know where you're going here. I know where you're going.
Know where I'm going?
I know where you're going here, and I would have flipped them. I would have flipped them.
A lot of people would.
I would have flipped number two. I'm thinking I would have flipped number two and number three. I don't think, you know, I think from the beginning, this has never been a top 60. It's been a second through 59. You know, yeah. I think we all are going to know who the number one guy is, but number two and number three. Ooh.
My number two, Paul Heyman.
That's exactly who I thought. Is he a manager or is he a, what does he call himself?
An advocate.
Yes. Yes. No,
I'm talking like way back in. I'm talking Zach Morris cell phone.
Yeah.
Paulie Dangerously days prior to Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns. I mean, just that dangerous alliance.
He led the New Midnight Express against the.
He's managed Arn Anderson, Steve Austin, Jake Roberts, even Bobby Eaton. Mark Callis, again, before he's Undertaker.
Joe Hinney.
Yeah, a lot. Eddie Gilbert.
Yeah.
And not to mention, he's just so freaking creative and talented.
Yeah. When he was doing his run with Brock and he would come out there and cut promos, boy, you could feel it. You know, it's like you felt like he was looking right at you and talking straight to you. And, you know, there were many, many, many nights he cut promos. And again, I would just be glued to the TV, just feeling the electricity, you know, like come through the just he's definitely a top five guy. I'll give you that.
Number one, I think everybody agrees, Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Man, oh man, how do you like I said, this was never a top 69. It was a 59 after number one. You know, Bobby Eaton is always. You ask anybody, I don't care if it's Jim Cornette. I don't care who it is. They'll tell you who the greatest manager of all time was. You know, you're talking about Blackjack Mulligan. You know,
Rick Rude,
Rick you know, Flair. We just lost Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff last week. And, you know, somebody posted a picture of the Heenan family and, you know, it's sad, you know, really almost struck me, you know, and brought a little tear to my eye to see that picture, because all those guys that had come and gone, it's like, you know, that was my childhood. You know, everybody, you know, if you've ever seen me perform, if you've ever seen me out there, you can tell that I'm largely influenced by Bobby the Brain Heenan. And if I could be 10% of the performer that he was, man, I would be booked all over the country. That guy was special, man. He was good.
Of course, he had the Heenan family, but he managed loads of people. I mean,
oh man,
people saw that and like, well, so-and-so's still alive or so-and-so's still alive. Yeah, but he managed them, but they wasn't in the Heenan family. It was kind of a separate little faction he had differently from. But he did. He managed Rick Rude, Ric Flair, Andre, Mr. Perfect, Mr. Wonderful, Big John Studd, King Kong Bundy, Harley Race, Arn and Tully. People forget he managed the Brainbusters. Haku.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah. You know, I mean, just like
Paul Lee, so creative, whether he was managing or sitting at the commentator booth, cutting a promo, dude was on fire.
Oh man, on fire was putting it lightly. You know, that guy. You know, it. And nowadays, we're lucky with YouTube and stuff like that that we get to see a lot of the, you know, a lot of the stuff that was behind the scenes. They'll be doing interviews and stuff like that, and to see some of Bobby's outtakes, man. I mean, they're just comedy gold. He was so quick witted. You know, so willing to put himself, you know, willing to put himself down to put somebody else over, you know, that damn weasel suit, you know, I think everybody knows how much he hated it, but, you know, still he would put it on and, you know, and give the people what they wanted. That's what they wanted. And again, you know, I like to style a lot of what I do after Bobby Heenan, give them hell, you know, give it to them and then send them home happy. Because, you know, when I'm done, I like to think, you know, that if that person comes up and grabs me, that face comes up and grabs me by the, you know, by the tie and draws back and asks them, do you want me to do it? That they're just going to be out of their seats going crazy because they're ready to see me go, you know, one way or the other, by hook or crook. They wanted to see me go. But yeah.
I know you'd flip Cornette and Heyman. What other changes did you get? Would you do? I think now that I look back, I'd probably move Jimmy Hart and maybe even Paul Bearer down.
Well, there's some that you did leave out that I thought you might touch on.
Uh-oh.
But you know, but then again, it wasn't that, you know, the one I'm thinking of in particular is Miss Linda. She managed Adrian Street down in the Florida territories.
Oh, yeah.
But she primarily was his valet. You know, she's more of a valet than,
right?
Yep, it was his real. It was his wife. You know, they did some good stuff down in Florida, and boy, he went on to train a lot of guys. You know, Steven Regal. You know, he was somebody that he was one of those guys that. You know, she you know, she was responsible for making all of his ring gear, and she made it very flamboyant. He took that character and ran with it. You know, he wore, God, I think they were that probably 5 inches.
Way ahead of its time, too.
Yeah, way, way, way ahead of its time. So you know, I would have probably taken and put Linda in there somewhere, and, you know, probably 20 to 30, you know, give or take. But, you know, really, you were spot on a lot of them, man. On a lot of them, you know, you hit the nail on the head. You know, of course, I, you know, I was wondering today before we started recording, like, man, what am I going to say if Bobby's not number one? But how could I even question who is going to be number one? You know,
I think after four, maybe after three is when things start to get fuzzy. I've got, of course, J.J. Dillon is my fourth, but after Bobby, Paul, and Jim Cornette, really, it's tough.
It starts to, because the water starts to get real muddy after that, you know, especially, man, I mean, you pulled out some people that I hadn't thought of. You know, when we were talking earlier, we were like, you know, gosh, is there really that many, you know, is there really that many? Can we really do a top 60? And, man, I tell you what, you did it.
All right, guys, that about wraps it up. Follow us on Facebook at The Slop Drop, on Twitter at The Slop Drop 1, wherever you get your podcasts. We're there. Leave us a good rating, a good review. Subscribe to us on YouTube. As always, thank you all for listening. Until next time, we are out of here.
Goodbye and good night.